Another week of play-by-play coming your way here on LSU Gold and wherever you find your podcast, along with Kent Lowe. I'm Chris Blair, welcoming you into the show. And Kent, another busy week. We got a lot to unpack. Obviously, the big win for LSU football gets off to a great start in SEC play, 1-0, with what I thought was an impressive win over Mississippi State at home, 31-16, where they just kind of took the Bulldogs out of the game as the game progressed. Another good weekend for LSU volleyball, great weekend for LSU soccer, which we'll talk about a little more in detail later on, women's golf. Again, it's always busy here. It's great to come in to start the week and talk about success, and right now, Tigers are having plenty of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was a great win over Mississippi State. Second half, this team really – well, frankly, that last drive before the half, I think, was a big point of the game to get some points on the scoreboard. And then second half, LSU really did some good things offensively and defensively to wrest control of that game. And then the fourth quarter – pretty dominant. Loved your call on the long run there for the touchdown, the 47-yard run. That was really cool to watch and listen to. I thought overall a pretty good night. A lot of excited Tiger fans, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere. And again, when you always get an early start and a leg up in SEC play, it's always a good thing. So congratulations, obviously, to Coach Brian Kelly, his staff and team, for handing him his first SEC win as head coach here at LSU. Want to talk about volleyball a little bit. They travel down the road to the Big Easy, the Tulane Invitational. Coach Tanya Johnson and company taking care of business. I won't say it's easy, but the score looked like they played well.
Yeah, a couple of wins there against Oregon State and Tulane. And now they're opening SEC play Wednesday night here at home against Arkansas, and I know they're all excited about that to finally get into conference season. It's a long conference season in volleyball with a kind of a double round robin, so 2+ months of SEC play, and great. I know she wants to really get off to a good start Wednesday night at home, but they're playing well. They've done well with some matches, and on a little bit of a roll heading into conference.
Now, don't forget, LSU and Arkansas coming up at the Maravich Center. You get your tickets for Wednesday night available at lsutix.net. And then they go on the road this weekend, take on a very good Kentucky team, I think ranked as high as number 13 in the country. Have played for a couple of championships, have a championship over the last couple of years. They'll battle Kentucky in Lexington Saturday at 3 o'clock, and then on Sunday at 11 a.m. We mentioned LSU soccer. We're going to talk more about that, but let's right out of the gate congratulate Coach Sean Hudson and her squad picking up their first SEC win of the year on the road.
At Vanderbilt, which has always been a tough place in the league to play. I think it was like 2013 was the last time LSU won in Nashville, and that's just so great to start the league off on the road. You're coming off not a devastating loss to number 6 Rutgers, but a loss that
certainly emotional loss.
Emotional loss, but a match where they showed they could play with the number 6 team in the country, and then to come back a week later on the road and win the SEC opener, I think that's great. And now a chance here at home against Missouri Thursday night, and we'll talk to Sean about this, to really get this thing going and be 2-0 coming out of the block in the league.
Yeah, excited to have Sean Hudson join us in just a few moments. Other news and notes, we're going to talk about the football game a little bit coming up, but gymnastics, Jay Clark and company released their schedule. It is, from all indications, just looking at it and hearing from gymnastics, this is going to be a very challenging schedule in 2023. It'll get underway on the road in Salt Lake City on January 7th. But they've got really some great meets coming up. Should be another exciting year for LSU gym.
Yeah, it should. I think it's going to be great. I mean, what a couple of openers. You open on the road at Utah and come home and you get Oklahoma here. And I know the place will be packed for that one. And a lot of good SEC meets along the way. And I know Coach Clark and the staff really looking forward to this season. A lot of good meets at home this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I brought my notes this week because always a hot ticket to check out LSU Gym inside the Maravich Center. As Kent mentioned, Utah in Salt Lake, Kentucky at Lexington, then Oklahoma comes here to the Maravich Center. Mizzou will take on LSU in the PMAC, Georgia at the PMAC, and Florida at the PMAC before they head to, again, the Mardi Gras Invitational, which will be held at the Raising Cane's River Center, but is here in Baton Rouge. So some great home meets. Get your tickets now at lsutix.net. All right, let's talk that football game a little more in depth. Jaden Daniels, again, just spectacular, dynamic with the football in his hands. Threw the football well once they got into that tempo again. Seems to be a lot more comfortable, at least from a passing game perspective, when they're able to do that. Defensively, a couple of missed tackles early. One play in particular, the 37-yard touchdown by Jaquavius Marks to get the first touchdown for Mississippi State. Eventually, they would trail by 13-0. But then got that tempo back, as you said, maybe the turning point in the game, that two-minute drill put on by Daniels in the offense, where they're able to make it a 13-7 game going into the locker room. And then, much like we saw in the opening game against Florida State, LSU, dare I say, dominant in the second half. And, you know, one of the things that stood out to me as that game went along, Kent, was that Coach Kelly last week and all of his media stops talked about it is complementary. Offense and defense, special teams, of course, when you're taking on a ball control offense, which the air raid is under Mike Leach. LSU wins time of possession, which when you win time of possession against Mississippi State, more times than not, you're going to win that football game. And I think the Tigers' defense got after Rodgers. He completed 10 of his first 11 passes and then was 14 of 31 after that. This is a guy that was completing nearly 80% of his passes through two games, finishes at 57% against this Tiger defense. And it frankly was because Harold Perkins, B.J. Ojulari, and that defensive front with great help on the back end from Jay Ward, but the pressure made him uncomfortable.
Well, I think it was on your radio interview, Gordy's radio interview with Coach at halftime, that the way that drill at the two-minute drill at the end of the half went for LSU, that he wanted to try to do some more of that in the second half. But then again, you kind of got to play that, okay, we can't go all the time that way because we got to give the defense a chance that are not, if you're three and out, they're not right back on the field. But I think it's obvious Daniels likes that kind of offense and has done well with it. But I think, you know, it was just a very good performance. And it doesn't bother me if we're a second-half ball club at all. So, I mean, you know, it was really good to see. This team fights hard. I mean, they really do. And I think that's great to see, especially in the second half of games.
A couple of last news and notes. Again, 21 unanswered late in the game by LSU's offense. The ground game, the numbers, Kent, not going to knock you over. Coach Kelly mentioned it Monday in his press conference discussing the win over Mississippi State, that they want to continue to see improvement there. You got John Emery back on the field, yeah, which is victory number one. He carried the ball 11 times, had 32 yards, and really a couple of plays where he was hit at the leg, hit at the ankle, where one step one way or the other, he makes a big play. So he was just that close to hitting a big one. Of course, Armani Goodwin, as you mentioned, 9 carries, 76 yards, had the 47-yard touchdown to basically put the game out of reach. But the run game, to your point, they went tempo in the final 2 minutes of the second quarter, went fast in the early part third quarter, early part fourth quarter, able to wrestle the lead away. And then I thought once they got ahead, even 24-16, they then said, we need to control the clock. We need to move the ball. We need to move the chains, but we can't just be out there moving super fast. And the ability for them to get the running game and just wear down Mississippi State's defense, I thought was a great sign. Lots of room for improvement, don't get me wrong, but the ability to say we can go tempo when we want, and when we do need to slow it down a tad, our offensive line, again, Will Campbell, Emory Jones Jr., first true freshman tackles on the offensive line that we know ever play start a game for LSU. Thought those guys were superb, but to me that was the big takeaway. The running game is moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you're right. We were trying to control the clock once we got the lead, and I think that was a good thing. We didn't shut it down, though. We certainly ran the offense and continued to advance the ball, get first downs, and I think that's the whole key in trying to I think you wore Mississippi State down. I think the runs that were a yard or two in the first and second quarter were the ones that were getting you 5, 6, 47 yards at the end of the game because you literally wore that defense down.
All right. Last thing. Shout-outs. B.J. Ojulari, Defensive Lineman of the Week in the SEC. No doubt about it, Jay Ward, SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Ooh. Tied a career high, 11 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, and had the interception, his sixth career interception, by the way, that sealed that victory for LSU late in the fourth quarter. And I want to give a shout-out to Slade Roy, the long snapper. He's been superb in snapping the football all season long, and great execution by the punt team. Jay Bramblett puts it over 4.5 seconds in the air. Slade and snaps the ball, runs down the field, waits for Austin Williams from Mississippi State to muff the punt at the 10. Slade recovers it. LSU goes on in to score eventually. So Slade Roy, you don't talk about the long snapper because if they do their job right, you don't mention their name. But here's a shout out to Slade Roy.
Transferred. But he did it right, and we'll mention his name.
Yes, and then he made a play, made a big play.
That's right.
In that game, of course, which some would argue was really the turning point, one of the big turning points in that contest. 31-16, LSU with the win. They moved to 1-0 in the SEC, 2-1 overall. Kent, this week back at Tiger Stadium, the last of this three-game homestead, if you will. New Mexico, Eddie Nunez, our good friend, used to be an administrator here. One of the best, really, and now running his own shop in Albuquerque. He'll bring the Lobos over here to take on the Tigers. 6:30 kickoff between New Mexico and LSU. We're going to talk about the other.
Wait, we got one more thing to talk about. Because if I don't mention it, I'll hear from people.
Okay.
So
absolutely.
We got to congratulate the women's golf team for their
win
in
New Orleans.
Last week, I was there on Tuesday for the final round at Bayou Oaks at City Park, which is a very nice golf course, I think. And LSU rallied in the final holes to win the tournament over Nebraska. Three players in the top four for LSU. It's the 49th win for LSU women in golf, in its golf program history. And they'll go for 50 coming up in their next tournament. But this team is ranked number 5 by Golf Channel in the early going, and you could see you shoot 30-something under over 3 days with four players as you're counting scores. That's a pretty good way to start the season.
I hope I executed the golf clap properly.
Very nice.
But,
very nice.
Congratulations
very nice,
on the 49th victory.
Very nice.
For the program. All right. How about next week after we do this, we go, I take your word for it, and go see if you're right. We'll go over there and play.
If you're paying the green fees, we'll take care of it.
Harrison's got us covered. We're looking like Harrison, he can carry our bags. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk LSU soccer. We'll have the head coach, Sean Hudson, right here on Play-By-Play.
Yeah.
Back with you this week on Play-By-Play. We told you we were going to talk LSU soccer, and, well, indeed we are. Sean Hudson, nice enough to join us. First off, Coach, great win over the weekend. Congratulations to you and your team. Off to a great start in the always tough SEC.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, nothing like going on the road and getting a win in your opening game. So, really excited to kick off the SEC with a win.
You know, this team has proven a lot in the non-conference. I mean, you tied a team out west that was 14th. You go to Rutgers, you play them tremendously, end up falling in the final minutes. But, I mean, they're number 6 in the country, and you got to come into that match Sunday with a lot of confidence because of the way your girls have played against some very top-ranked competition.
Yeah, you know, I think there was a mixture of frustration coming out of the Rutgers game to be 2-0 up. I think they went up to number 3 in the rankings today. So, you know, definitely one of the top teams in the country to lose a 2-0 lead at halftime is disappointing, obviously. But we just talked a lot in the week about, you know, the amount of growth that we've shown, even just in the last few weeks since the tie against Pepperdine out on the West Coast, and how adversity at times can help you. So the big focus this week was to learn game management and how do we slow down the games in important moments? How do we shift the game territorially up the field, and how do we learn from that loss last week? And yesterday after the Vandy win, we talked a lot about, and I'm not sure if we would have won yesterday if we hadn't experienced that loss at Rutgers. So I think you've got to learn from those moments, and I think the team certainly did this week.
Okay.
I know Kent's going to talk about what's coming up, and as I mentioned, the always tough SEC. I know I had a chance to talk with you before the start of this season in late summer and kind of touched on what you just talked about, which mm-hmm. was setting up that non-conference schedule, both home and away, to prepare your team. Again, you hope you come out and win every match, but to prepare the team for what the grind will be starting in the conference. And obviously it looks like your team has, again, improved, mm-hmm. taken some of those teaching moments that you guys have talked about, which I think you got to be pleased at where you are with one game under your belt in conference action.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just getting on an hour and 15-minute flight on the weekend felt like a home game in a way after traveling all the way to California and New Jersey. So I think those long road trips, you know, while they were difficult in terms of just length of time, travel time, they've actually probably set us up in a really great way, both in terms of our preparations on the field and in terms of how we'll handle sort of travel and logistics off the field as well. So, no, I think we're in a great place. Obviously, excited about the home match on Thursday against Missouri. But as we reflect on non-conference, I don't think I would have changed anything about it. I think the UCF result was probably the one that we look back on and say we probably needed to get more out of that game. But the Pepperdine, you know, to play two top 10 teams on the road early in season and to get a tie and almost, you know, steal one against a top four opponent from last year, I think just shows the amount of growth that the team's gone through.
You know, I thought early on and watching the UCF game, I really thought that game had a chance to go the wrong way in the mm-hmm. first half because they got up early and just couldn't get anything to go, and then you come right out like a minute out of the half and a spectacular play to tie that one. And it just seemed like, even though it ended up in tie, just the momentum of the match changed, you know.
Yeah, you know, the first half performance was just a little bit flat and it just never really got going. And then, you know, as we talk about, coaches can sometimes have the hairdryer treatment in the locker room at halftime. And I think it was like 30 seconds into the second half when Molly Baker got the goal yeah. back for us. And then she almost hit the winner with maybe 5 minutes left. The kid probably has the best save of her life in that moment. So, yeah, you know, again, it was a good response from a poor first half performance. We had a moment against Baylor in an exhibition where we just never really truly got off the bus, so to speak. So I think some of those moments have taught us how important it is to start games well. And I actually heard a stat last night that I think we've outscored opponents, I don't know, something like 17-3, and then it's like tied goals in the second half. So I think the shift now needs to be how are we closing out games, because mm-hmm. I think we're certainly starting games well.
Coach, I readily admit, and I've talked to you about this before, I am truly the ignorant Yankee when it comes to soccer. Kent, of course, is our resident soccer expert, which I lean on him heavy. But I try, you know, I've watched the World Cup several times when it comes. I guess my best introduction to it, unfortunately, readily admit, Ted Lasso, which is not the way to learn the game. But I have watched Welcome to Wrexham, which has just started, and it's a captivating show. I don't know if you've had time, because you're very busy, to watch it. But for me, who is trying to dip my toe, if you were, into the sport, and as I told you, I got super fired up last year, just watching the crowds, especially the home matches, that I was missing out on something. Tell me what totally know nothing about it, and I say, Coach, tell me about your team. Mm-hmm. What am I going to see? What is it, again, in layman's terms, mm-hmm. Will we see when we watch LSU soccer from the type of play you want to see?
Yeah, well, I would start with our passion and pride being our two words that we talk about all the time. I think anything you do in life, you have to be passionate about it. And I think we love to compete. You know, I think if you watched the last 10 or 15 minutes of the Vandy game yesterday, there's tackles flying, there's, you know, I think you just have to be passionate. So I think competing for each other, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, being together, whatever we do, we're going to do together. Pride in the way that we move the ball. I think we want to be a team that maintains possession. I think there's only been one game this season that we've lost the possession battle, UCF, ironically. So, you know, for me, we want to take care of the ball. We talk about, you know, love the ball, love each other, love the game. You know, can we impact the community at a high level? And for me, that is just plain an exciting brand of soccer. You know, when fans come to watch us play, we want to be in front of the goal, we want to be creating goal scoring opportunities, you know, scoring goals. I'd like to tighten up at the back a little bit. We're leaking too many goals at the moment. But yeah, I think anytime you can watch teams play that are passionate in terms of how they fight and compete for each other defensively, and then when they have the ball, moving it at speed, getting numbers into the attack and creating goal scoring opportunities.
Talking about a couple of your players, of course, Molly Swift and goal has done a great job for you. Edith Herzendotter has been amazing, scored the winning goal Sunday afternoon. I mean, you've got some stars out there in the making for your team.
Yeah, you know, Swifty, I think she's been disappointed at times in recent weeks, but, you know, she just continues to come up with big saves for us. And is just somebody at the back that we know we can rely on, both with the ball at her feet and her ability to initiate attacks for us, and then obviously with big saves. So really excited by her growth as a goalkeeper since she's been with the program. And then Ida, you know, I think she's her fifth goal yesterday, and an unbelievable piece of skill to just bend it up and over the wall. But I was a little worried yesterday because at Rutgers, it was raining and cold, so she loved that environment. Princeton, it was a night game. In California, it was moderate temperatures. Yesterday was in, you know, high 80s, 90 degrees. I'm like, oh, gosh. But I think she's just getting used to the heat, not just the heat from the sunshine, but just the heat of battle in America. It's a lot different than the game and the pace of the game she's used to in Europe. But I think she's getting better with every game she plays, and she's just a special talent.
Let's talk a little bit, if we could. And Chris, I won't show your age, I'll show my age. But you mentioned the World Cup. I remember when I was a kid and no one was really talking about soccer, and you saw the World Cup like a week after the finals, a week after it was played on Wide World of Sports in America, because no one really cared about it, to be honest with you. Now, thanks to things like the Premier League, the World Cup, the Women's World Cup, and I think most recently the Women's European Championship, which was absolutely amazing, there are a lot of adults involved, and a lot of those adults, now their kids are all playing soccer, you know, and it's great to see, like, kids and families and a bunch of soccer fanatics at your matches now, and you've got to be pleased with how that has grown in your time here.
Yeah, you know, I've certainly seen growth just in the few years I've been here, and I think Baton Rouge has a huge soccer community, and I think it's just a case of us as a team getting into the community, helping just sort of spread the word about soccer at a high level, giving them a game model that they can follow that is maybe a little bit more advanced than what we see. You know, my kids both play for Baton Rouge Soccer Club, so I'm out at the fields as often as I can be, which isn't very often right now. But yeah, you know, I think the sport is evolving here. You know, my dream is, I've got a 9-year-old son that's out the street playing all the time, and all I see at the moment are basketballs being shot and footballs being thrown. And, you know, my dream is to drive down my street and see kids playing soccer. So I think we have a responsibility to impact the community and the kids of the future, Tigers of the future, and help them see what they can be. And I think just getting more fans to our games, it's starting to happen pretty consistently, and giving them entertaining soccer to follow, and success. You know, the Tiger fans love winners.
Yes, they do.
and I think the rest, it'll just set the wheels in motion, and we'll see a lot of traction from that.
What did it mean last year? I mentioned to you that I got caught up in the buzz. Yeah. For the early home matches, really all the home matches, but I know I got a chance to watch it on television, and it was a madhouse. Everybody looked like they were having a good time. Yeah. I know that's important to you, and it is a bridge to get not only the student community here at LSU at large, but also the community of Baton Rouge. For those who follow soccer, love the mm-hmm. sport, and for those who are trying, like myself, to learn more about it. But for your team itself, what does it mean? I mean, you've got your SEC home match coming up this week. I mean, what does it mean when they go out there and it is packed to the gills and it's electric and every play on the field is either a ooh or an ah?
Look, I think any time that you can play in front of people that appreciate the game and want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, it just sort of, you know, breeds a buzz and a passion. And you know, I think that's one of the things that I love about LSU more than anything is being in Tiger Stadium and just feeling that electricity of the fans. So we just talked to the players last night. They're going to be out at Baton Rouge Soccer Club, you know, in the mix with the kids, encouraging the kids to be at the games. They'll be in, you know, the student. We're going to get over to the frat houses tonight and just trying to drum up interest. And I think the more that we have, you know, boots on the streets, you know, I've talked to Dee Dee about how she built sort of her gymnastics legacy here. And I think it's just everybody that's a part of the program has to put the work in to get those fans. Like the Mississippi State crowd last year. I mean, our hope is that we're going to break the record from last year on Thursday night. It's a Thursday night versus a Friday night, so I don't know if that's an unrealistic goal. So.
Well, they start the weekend here on Thursdays, so that's the good thing about Baton Rouge. They're ready to go.
But no, I think, you know, for the top performers, anytime you can play in front of a big crowd, it just excites you and brings more to the table.
Well, I can guarantee you this. If you guys have Dollar Dog Night again, Kent and I will be there. I'm not going to miss that.
Well, it's $2 hot dogs.
$2. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well,
$2
hey,
hot
maybe
dogs.
A dollar, and who knows?
All right, $2 hot dogs. I'll be there for a few. you'll see me going up the stands with a big handful. Look, for those of you, seriously, for those of you Thursday night, This is a darn good looking scarf. First 500 get this Thursday night at the match. You need to be there and wearing this and supporting the Tigers for that match. I have a rules question that they changed this year. Mm-hmm. I am of the philosophy, and I think I'm the only one who would love to see in college soccer just like the Premier League and all that. Just put 45 minutes running on stoppage time because so many wild things happen when you watch a soccer match in stoppage time where college soccer kind of keeps time like it's American football, pardon me for saying that. But I mean, I would love to see that stoppage time factor in college soccer. But I am curious what your thoughts are on no overtime this year and the regular season.
Well, the first thing about the clock, I don't know if you guys saw this, but at Southern Miss, we were counting down at the end of the first half. It was 0-0 at the time, and we scored with 1 second left on the clock, and they took it back. So yes, I agree strongly on the European system in terms of the clock. But the overtime one is interesting to me. Initially, I was a fan of it because I thought the rest of the world, you know, a tie is a tie, and why not play like the rest of the world does? And I think strategically at times as coaches, we want to play for ties. Certainly when you're on the road against a big opponent, a tie is a good result. But I think it's just been really interesting to see the evolution of the game. There's Indiana, as I think, have played either 7 or 8 games, and all but one of their games has ended in a 0-0 tie.
Wow.
Which is really interesting because some of the recruits that we are competing mm-hmm. with them for have sort of decided that they're not going to go there now as a result of seeing so many scoreless ties, which I guess is part of what you have to deal with if you don't score goals and don't excite people. But yeah, I just think that there's going to be some complications long term in terms of postseason seeding for the national tournament with so many ties. It's going to make for a very interesting selection.
Also, you mentioned playing on Thursday and then you're going to play Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when soccer first started in the SEC, it was always Friday night, seemed like early Sunday afternoon, whether you played two at home or two on the road or whatever. And it's got to be a little better now. A lot of these matches are coming out Thursday, Sunday, mm-hmm. with the way the league scheduled things this year. And there's not as many of those Friday, Sunday affairs as there used to be as far as getting players' legs ready mm-hmm. to go again the next time.
Yeah, against Vandy on Sunday, like I said, it was really hot, and I think fatigue does become a factor on a Sunday afternoon in 90-degree weather. So I think that additional day of rest, Thursday to Sunday versus Friday to Sunday, I think is critical, and certainly from an injury perspective as well, just giving the players adequate rest. Both teams have to do it, though, right? So as long as it's fair, I do think just looking at, you know, Missouri played on Friday, we played on Sunday, and then we play each other on Thursday. So I think the SEC schedule has some challenges at times, certainly with the TV games of rest and how quickly you have to turn around. But, you know, we're not complaining. I think we're just excited to play and hopefully get another win on Thursday and keep the momentum building.
That would be great.
Yeah,
that would be great.
I can imagine that it is. You know, it's always nice. They do need rest between matches. But I do think, Kent, the 18 to 22-year-old probably bounces back quicker than, say, you and I would, but because they're top-notch athletes. Again, your Tigers now 6-1-2 on the season, 1-0 start in SEC play. Again, Missouri at home, LSU Soccer Stadium coming up Thursday. Coach, before we let you go, I know we've got a body of work now for non-conference, a couple of conference games, but mm-hmm. what do you see the SEC like in soccer this year? I mean, who is everybody chasing? Is it up for grabs? I mean, what do we see as the conference schedule starts to come down the pipe?
Yeah, you know, I think the SEC is probably the toughest conference in the country right now to play in soccer. I think SEC West is maybe a little bit deeper than SEC East at the moment.
Wow, just like football.
Yeah.
Soccer and football.
I've
SEC
heard that
West.
Somewhere before.
There was some really interesting results on Friday night. Arkansas lost. Texas A&M lost. You know, so obviously Missouri beat Auburn, who were ranked top 25. Mississippi State beat Arkansas, who were 14. So, you know, initially maybe going into this weekend, we were looking at this weekend as some must-win games for us, and now the tables have turned a little bit. But I think every game in the SEC is an absolute battle, and I think you've got to approach it one game at a time. And, you know, we're certainly not getting ahead of ourselves. But like I said in my interview on Sunday after the Vandy game, I think any team that underestimates us this year is going to struggle to deal with us. So I'm just excited about where the team's evolving to and the growth, and certainly some players sort of coming into form at the right time, like Ida. You know, I'm just excited. I don't think we've played at home in, I don't know, weeks.
A while,
yeah, it feels like we've only played at home two or three times this season, which might be right. So we're excited to get back home in front of our home fans and just show them how much growth we've gone through in the last few weeks and put on a show.
The last thing I got for you, what do we expect in the battle Thursday with Missouri? What do you know about those Tigers from Como?
Yeah, you know, Stephanie Golan is a good friend. She left the University of Minnesota a couple of years ago to go to Mizzou, and I think I watched them on Friday night, and I think this team is evolving into being, you know, I feel like this is the first year where we could sort of look at this team at LSU and say, you know, that's a Sean Hudson team. I think it takes time, 3-4 years. But Stephanie's come in and done a really good job and got them organized. They've got some really talented freshmen, and I think, honestly, it's just going to be a really good game of soccer.
All right, well, we invite everybody out there again, 6 o'clock, LSU Soccer Stadium. Kent, you going to be there?
Get your scarf.
Get your scarf.
Get your scarf.
Kent will have
his. Get some hot dogs.
Coach, congratulations so far. Still a lot to go, and we wish you the very best of luck, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again down the line.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show this week for Play-by-Play. Thanks to Coach Sean Hudson. As always, the maestro, Kent Lowe, and Harrison Valentine and Cody Worsham. They're just nonstop. They work all the time, and we got to tip our cap to them. Hope you'll join us again next week for another version. Until then, this is Chris Blair. So long, everybody. Ha 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 ha.